This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. If you missed the expressway, it kind of feels like you've missed a lot from the 817. Oh man, that segment was greatness. I have been delivering mail, and I don't know if I've been doing it correctly. I may have a big cleanup tomorrow. So much laughing and crying throughout that segment. And obviously, we want to give a big shout-out to ASCO Equipment for helping us get here, making this trip happen. Your heavy equipment partner since 1960. Now, it's time for the C Block starring Corey Majors.
Thank you very much, Kevin. I really appreciate that.
We're going to have a special guest in here. They're just not here yet.
Not here yet. So as soon as Alec tells me, we will be back to doing some radio. And it sounds like we do have our next guest on. And for this next guest, he is now your problem. It is Dave Raymond joining the show, the TV play-by-play voice of the Texas Rangers. And Dave, thank you for hopping on with us today. We get to talk some baseball and get to talk a little Mike.
Yeah. And now you boys can, take a load off. I've got it.
I kind of hate you for that, Dave. I appreciate you listening. I kind of hate you for saying that.
Dave, I'm kind of curious. Last year was like Mike's kind of, his run through with this. When you got him on air and you got to work next to him, because I think I texted you and I kind of talked about this with you, I learned a lot more about baseball working with Mike through these years, and it's been a lot of fun. What was your understanding of what Mike was when he was on TV with you?
Well, I've had the chance to get to know Mike too through your show and through the work at the ballpark, all the pre and post game shows and everything. So I had a pretty good sense of what we were up against. And
that's a good way to put it.
like you guys, I feel like when he opens his mouth and starts talking about baseball, it's always interesting to me. And it's, so many times he will bring up something that I hadn't thought of. And I think, I tell you, one of his great strengths, and I love to talk about a person when he's in the room as if he's not in the room. It's always fun. But I think what draws us to Mike as listeners, and what draws me to him as a baseball person, is his willingness to be vulnerable and say, like, why? I don't know why they would do that. Mm. You know what I mean? Like, he'll ask questions. Like, well, wait a minute, I wonder why they're putting this guy in this spot or whatever, right? And I think so many times when I'm listening to broadcasts and stuff, people will try to explain something as if, like, this is common knowledge or we all knew this or something. And sometimes, to be quite honest, they're wrong. people who have an expertise in a field or presume to have that expertise sometimes feel like they have to say something as if it's the truth. And what I love about Mike is he doesn't always feel that way. He's like, he's willing to humble himself and say, like, I'm not sure I really get that. And I think it's a relief. It's very disarming to people to say, like, well, good, because I had no idea what was going on there either. And there's probably an answer, right? There's probably an answer, but we just don't know it yet. And so anyway, I just think he's Mike has a brilliant way of seeing things and explaining things, and I just I love it. I really enjoy it.
By the way, I wanted to give an update on the text we read at the beginning of this segment. Please let that one mailman know that I am also delivering mail, and I had to go back to the same house three times because I was distracted so much in that segment. That's amazing.
That was great.
So great.
Now, have you had a moment, because we've had plenty of these, Dave, have you had a moment where Mike has said something and you've just looked at him and gone, I don't know how to follow up, but good luck to me on this?
Oh, yeah, I'm sure I have. But, you know, I haven't taken inventory of them per se.
That means it hasn't really happened yet, Dave. I hear what you're saying. But right? If it had really, really happened, you would remember. We will make sure to exchange phone numbers. I'll be there, and Corey will be there if you need to call us and vent about things.
Yeah. No, I mean, there are definitely some times where you know, you just might have to take a breath and sort it out, right? Just take a moment and sort it out. What is he getting at there? I mean, you know, look, one time we got you know, offline on some dump cake conversation, but
I knew
where he was going.
Too. Yeah. And he also brought you that carrot cake. He still hadn't brought me a carrot cake yet, so that's amazing. One of the things, Dave, that I've really, like, as a listener, as a watcher, and hearing you guys do your own thing, is I think Mike does a really good job at telling me what I'm seeing and why I'm seeing what I'm seeing and in the moment. Sometimes you get guys, Kevin, that'll talk about their career and it's like, that's the whole game. Yeah. Mike can do that, but he weaves all these other things about what's happening, why it's happening. And that's where I think a lot of our audience goes, that's how I became a smarter baseball fan. And I keep telling him that, Dave. So keep letting him know that is a good thing. If it is a good thing.
It is a good thing. And I, you know, like young broadcasters and stuff like that, it's part of the life, is that the young people ask you for stuff, ask you for advice, ask you to listen to their tapes, all these types of things. And I understand what a lot of pressures young broadcasters feel. I got to do this. I got to sound like Vin Scully. I got to do an Al Michaels, whatever. And there's always this thing about, like, oh, I got to have all this stuff prepared. I got to have these stories and anecdotes and yada, yada, yada. I would contend the opposite, right? Don't bog it down with stuff that you're bringing to the table. Like, if you actually just watch the game and pay attention to what's going on down there and ask yourself questions, and listen to your partner and the two of you discuss things, there's so much going on every night that it's a fascination. And I think if people would just be curious about what they're watching, that there's so much there. And that's, again, why I think Mike has such great strength is he understands a lot more than the rest of us do. He's been through a lot of it before, and so he can see things and explain it to us, point it out to us. I can ask him questions, and he can explain it. That part to me is the real fun of it. I really enjoy working with guys who can do that same thing, right? Who can watch a game. Maybe I'm paying attention to something totally different.
Yeah.
You know, but he's looking at the positioning of this outfielder the whole time. And I'll see him working over there on the talkback switch and stuff, talking to the truck. I'm like, all right, I know something cool's coming. And then, boom, here we go, into a replay. And he's sequencing what's happening and telling me something. And I'm like, this is so cool. I just love that.
Well, I've been very lucky because getting Norm Hitchkiss to start off as a mentor and now getting to work with you. I remember, Dave, I can't remember where we were at, but you'd said, you know, we were just talking about how broadcasting goes, and it was maybe around, I'm not 100% sure, but maybe around Ohtani's 50-50 game and just the way it was broadcast or other things. And you've given advice, and Norm has given advice, and I'm listening to it. And it's interesting because I'm not trying to, like, big ego here, but I definitely am unique. You know, I listen to other people and go, well, I like this or I like that, but you and Norm have both told me the same thing. Be you. You know, obviously you have to bring good information and you have to, you know, keep the interest at times in certain situations, but but be you. And that's fun because I know that being me sometimes can put Dave Raymond or Kevin Hagelin on a, what the hell is going on right now?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, but that's good, right? It's fun. It's entertaining. And it is true. I mean, of course, everybody's got to do their work and we have to be ready and prepared. But I think I think a lot of times it's the hardest thing for people to learn is how to just really be comfortable with who they are and the fact that they don't either don't know everything, whatever, right? Some people, it's really hard to not have the answer. But I think if everybody was honest with themselves, they would say, yeah, I probably don't have the answer, right? And so anyway, yeah, I think it is the most critical piece to any of it, I think, is that you just have to be who you are. And it just so happens that you're just sort of, you know, delightfully daffy and yet, you know, baseball brilliant. It's great.
Yes.
Now, speaking of things that we don't have the answer for, I just wanted to ask you real quick, in the midst of all of this, is it okay that I'm super concerned about who's going to close games for the Rangers?
Ooh. Yeah, no, I think that's fair. I think I am. And, you know, somebody will. That's we do know.
You
just can't swerve past the ninth inning. It does happen. And so you're going to have somebody to do it. And if it's by committee at first, and that may be how they declare it, that's fine. But you know, we've heard it a million times from managers of, oh, I'm just going to try and let anybody do it or whatever. Deal with matchups. Yeah, okay. You're doing that until somebody makes it clear that they can do it consistently for you, and then that's where you're going. And so hopefully somebody emerges, and if not, then it's going to really take some pretty clever dancing, and who knows, maybe a trade or a transaction somewhere along the line where they find somebody. But no, I think they worked so hard this offseason. They were so aggressive in adding great additions to the lineup, to building that bullpen from scratch. And they frankly run out of money if they're going to stay under the threshold.
Yeah.
And so now it's a matter of getting creative or finding that guy, building him up from within. But they'll figure it out.
So, Dave, you come out here around March 10th, am I right?
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
So when you get here, obviously, we'll be 17 days away from opening day. When you get out here, what are you right now thinking about? Here's what I'm looking for from a specific player or the team heading into opening day.
Well, I want to see what Garcia looks like. I want to see how Adolis is moving in the outfield. I want to see how he looks at the plate. But I just want to see that he looks healthy and energized and ready to go, like he did in 2023. So that's important to me. I want to see how the various outfielders look in their spots. I know they're moving Tavares around a little bit and see what that looks like. I want to see Wyatt Langford be healthy after this oblique or side scare that we've had early on here. And then generally, most of the guys, especially in the lineup, there's not a whole lot I need to see. Same with like DeGrom and Eovaldi and these guys. Just whatever, do your work. Be ready to go on opening day. I don't care what the numbers are at spring training. I'm not going to get fooled by that. Just be ready to go. So just mostly health. But then there are the young guys that you want to see, the Teotos and whatnot. You want to see are they close? Are they legit? Are they ready? Where do they stand? And for that matter, the guys that we've already seen a little bit, the Jack Gliders and Kamar Rocker, kind of guys, you want to make sure that they look like they're continuing to progress and be ready to contribute. But I it's mostly just getting a temperature on where everybody is, and hopefully everybody will be healthy.
Well, Dave, thank you very much for hopping on with us today and taking a load off with everybody. We really appreciate that. I know Kevin appreciates that a lot. Just do me a favor, take care of our friend while he's out on the road with you. All right.
Yeah. Don't get too emotional today. Try to rein it in a little bit. But it's a big day. It's a big day, and your loss is definitely our gain. We're super excited. Thrilled to death that Mike's going to be in the booth, and he'll be the primary dude, and he'll be steering the ship, man, if you can believe it. You know, TV is the analyst medium. Mm, so
that's a decision.
This show. So here we go.
Here we go.
There you go. Thank you very much, Dave Raymond.
Giddy up.
TV play-by-play for the Texas Rangers.
Coming up next.
Oh, I'm excited.
You should be.
Last segment ever.
We might try to get in some more Mikester piece of the decade.
Ooh.
But also, surprise guest number four next, right here on 105 Through the Fan. KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. We are live from surprise from the 214. This almost feels like a retirement party with all the guests and celebrations. Congratulations, Mike, on the new job. And right now, let's get a G-bag blast from the past as we bring to you Mr. Jeff Kavanaugh. Good afternoon, sir.
Hi, guys, but mostly hi, Mike.
Oh, hell.
Hey, Jeff.
Shut wow. up, Mike.
Oh, my gosh.
Hey,
Jeff.
What are y'all doing?
We're watching a guy hose the field.
Okay. Yeah, that's very Mike of you. That's a very Mike response. Just kind of shuts everything down, and everybody else has to figure it out. It's very
yeah.
Mike.
Oh, my God. The story of the last 6 years. Yeah, absolutely. Jeff, are you shocked that the Texas Rangers have put all of this faith yes. in Mike Bacsik on their television network?
I mean, I guess the big thing is that, like, I don't think companies think about it. Like, the organization isn't thinking about it. They just think, is he good at the job, right? Mm-hmm. And Mike's really good at the job. They're not thinking about poor Dave Raymond. Like,
yeah.
they're not, like, that's going to be Dave Raymond's problem. And, mm-hmm. you know, that's just kind of how it goes.
Dave has fortunately said that he is more than willing to take on the extra things
know.
That come along. Yeah, he doesn't know.
See,
he doesn't know yet.
Okay, Jeff, you're right, because Corey asked him, like, for one of those kind of, like, non-sequitur moments, and Dave goes, oh, I'm sure they've happened. I can't think of one offhand, and I was like, then they haven't happened yet, Dave. You would be able to think about them immediately.
No, and it is absolutely, positively what makes Mike the best. I think that he is literally the best at sports radio in the entire market. But if you are working with him, it is not easy sometimes. Like your Bob Dobelina deal earlier that you guys played. Like, one of my favorite things about Mike when I don't have to work with him is he will either not know where he's going or abruptly end a thought because he didn't know what was happening, and he did it in the Bob Dobelina thing where he just goes, so. And that's it.
Yeah.
So, like, you think that this is going somewhere, and like something, like you're going to bring something to the table, and he just goes, so, and then stares at you. And you're like, all right, so I got to figure out something to talk about right now, or we're going to have silence for 7 minutes. And that is the greatness of Mike.
When do you think, Jeff, because obviously it was Gavin Dawson hosting the show with you and me and Chris Arnold. How long did it take? Because if I haven't done this to Dave Raymond yet, was it a couple weeks, a couple months? Did it take a year? Do you feel like when you're like, wow, Mike can be a issue?
I think it takes the first time that somebody above Dave tells you something. To do yep. or not do something.
Oh, that's because, a good answer.
Yeah, the people who get punished when Mike gets in trouble are the people that he works with. Mm-hmm. Because, like, I remember the Cowboys are great about this. For the most part, they leave you alone, right? When you're the partner of the Cowboys, and for the most part, they leave you alone. They do not care. Like, I think once or twice in my 13 years at the Fan, did they tell us before we interviewed Jerry, hey, like, he's done talking about the anthem or something like that.
Yeah,
for the most part, you don't get messed with. But if, like, they don't want, like, personal attacks. And so I'm sure Mike said something about Jerry that was over the line. And in a break, I don't even think we heard from the Cowboys. I think it was just our boss. It was like, Mike, like, that's too much. And so for the next, Gavin Dawson was out that day. And so for the next 3 hours, anything that I brought up during Cowboy season about the Cowboys, and I would ask Mike a question and, you know, analyze this, give me a thought, give me an opinion. His opinion was, Jerry Jones is a Hall of Famer. Who are we to question him?
That hasn't changed much, Jeff.
God.
And that's what I got for 3 hours, no matter the question, was Jerry Jones is a Hall of Famer. What do we know? He's the smartest guy to ever do it.
And was that Jeff at Bob Thompson? I don't know which. It was that place where you'd bought a car from out in like Allen McKinney?
Oh, yeah, HCOM. I mean, if they're not giving you money now, they don't give
you money. Oh, yeah, yeah. I can remember, like, I can remember things that exactly tick me off, and I'm like, okay, watch this. That's how, in my head, I'm like, oh, you thought you didn't like that. Let's see how much you don't like the complete and total opposite 180. Yeah. And it was
you're not doing that to the person who yelled at you. You're doing that to the people who you're on the air with that are on your team that had nothing to do with it. Yeah, that's it's awesome.
Yeah, I know, but I know how much it's ticking somebody off. So I'm like, well, watch this, because I remember it was coming back from Christmas break. I can't remember what year it was, but the Cowboys, I think one of those years they didn't make the playoffs. And I was like, oh, you think I'm too harsh on Jerry? I will now sarcastically compliment every second of the show for 4 straight hours.
Now, yeah, no, it was great. No, I had a great time. That was incredible. Yeah. And I'm spending most of my time bitching about Mike, and you guys, when you work with him, you do know it's mostly rooted in truth. Mike can be an absolute challenge. But in terms of the listener and what things get to turn into because Mike exists, I honestly believe it's the best in the market, maybe the best in the world. It's absolutely incredible. Like, I'll give you the Luka trade, right? Mike's super emotional and a big-time sports fan. So when Luka got traded and he fired off on the internet, on the Twixter or whatever, where it was like, I'm done. Like, I'm unfollowing basketball accounts. I'm not watching the games. Like, I'm literally done. And I saw Sean Sharif's response to him was like, oh, that's great for a radio show. And it's like, it's just the different ways of doing things where in the preparer, presenter, host, like in that brain, it's like, why would you share that? We are going to be doing content about this sports team all the time. And you're telling the listener that you're not even going to be watching. You can't break down a game if you're not watching. And like that goes on in some people's brains. Whereas I think that emotional response is so real and so relatable to people that it would be my job if I had to run a show with Mike. Like, I would make that a bit where it's like, Mike can't break down the games and you own it. Yeah. Where it's like, Mike's not watching. He's that mad. So what we're going to do is we're going to check in with Mike every day on his quiddo meter. Have you seen the highlights? Do you know anything? And it's like, you just have to change the way you do things to let the greatness shine. And Mike is absolutely greatness.
Yeah, last night when you guys were talking about Moses Brown, I was like, oh, I guess he's on the Charlotte Hornets.
He's back, baby!
I found out this morning, I'm scrolling through Twitter, and I believe it was Skin who might have been interviewing Moses Brown after the game. I'm like, why is he interviewing a Charlotte Hornet after this game?
Because he's a Maverick again. Yeah. He's a Maverick.
Well, Jeff, if you had to do it all over again, do you wish you would have asked for a higher price for Mike to give out your phone number on air?
No, because at the time I was broke, man. What did I get? $20? $40?
$20 or $40? Like, I thought it was $40. I was like, I got $220. Let's see what happens.
Yeah, and here. I noticed that you guys obviously asked if anybody still had it while we were at Super Bowl this year, because I definitely won more.
Oh yes,
we. 40
sorry not, about that, Jeff.
I'm not doing it again, even though you're on right now. That was my last time ever to do it.
Okay, I appreciate it.
Can you imagine if I did it during a Ranger game?
Oh my god!
I mean, it would be the same text. It's not like you're giving out my number again. It's just the people who still have it. I will hang up and they'll have texted, because there will be people listening right now that just hear us mention it. They'll be like, this will be funny. Yeah. And I'll pick like one or two to respond to, and it'll be fun.
Jeff, I know how much of a DFW sports fan you are. If the Rangers have a bad season this year, should we demand Mike get fired from that job?
Oh, they did go 78-84 after winning a World Series with me.
I think we demand, like, if they're not good, I think we go the exact other direction, where we say, like, we limit the amount of words Dave Raymond's allowed to say, and we make Mike just do the games, where it's like, look, if we're not going to be good at this, we're at least going to be entertained by Mike's dumbassery. Like,
now,
he's just going to have to be the one who has all the pressure of, hey, if you don't talk, it'll be quiet. But here's the thing about his personality. He'd be like, that's fine. It'll be quiet.
I do think that some people, I've heard people around the game go, gosh, what do I do when it's 10-0 in the third inning of this major league game and we still have another 2 hours to broadcast? And
that's when you want Mike, baby.
That's like, I'm like, no, I love this. Now that it's 10-0, I do love the intense part of the game, 3-2 in the seventh inning. I'm into it. Let's go. But if it's 10-0 after three, I got some things to get off my chest.
Well, speaking of dumbassery, Mike, can you give a description to Jeff Kavanaugh of what is happening on the field right now?
It looks like it's an Outback Steakhouse day because there's a lady dressed up as a coconut shrimp, and then there's a man dressed up as a blooming onion.
Is Outback the one with the brown bread?
Yeah, they got good brown bread.
I think it is.
Boy, that is a good brown bread.
I will tell you, I recently went to Outback Steakhouse in Round Rock, Texas, visiting my daughter, and they have really, it's just one Outback. I don't know all of them, but I was like, you guys have really gone down on the quality.
Oh, that's tough. Shout out to the guy who just texted me. What's up, Jeff? Be nice to Mike.
Yeah, I just texted you a picture of what we were looking at, too.
But my best relationships aren't nice with each other, except my wife. She demands it, so I do it.
That wouldn't even work. That wasn't even a sentence. What does that mean? Like, what did you just say? My best relationships aren't even nice with each other? Yeah. Who? What?
Comma, except for my wife, I guess, semicolon?
Yeah. Like,
you're
me and you.
You're saying that you don't.
We rag each other.
But even then, you talked about a fundamental generational ploy by women passed down through the years to hide things from you.
I brought that up again to my wife as I couldn't find my long johns. It was freezing a cold for high school baseball.
Uh-huh.
And she's like, where do you think these things go? She asked the question. And I said, honestly, I think you hide them from me.
How did it go from there?
She laughed, but not like in a good way. She like laughed like, I can't believe you.
Yeah.
But I'm like, I think that's what women do.
Facts. I have three Mike Bassick moments for you.
Oh my gosh, Jeff.
I have three Mike Bassick moments for you.
All right. Okay. Lay them on us.
And I guess this one's not really a moment. Well, it's kind of a moment since you played it earlier. But the DFW Security Live Spot, one of my favorite things about Mike is that he doesn't know how anything works. the DFW Security Live Spot, it was funny because of some of the words that he said, but I thought the ancillary funny was more funny when he asked people to rob his house and he realized that was a bad idea. But then he was like, but you'll be on video, I think. So like guy from DFW security, when you do ads for him, like I have DFW security at my house. And Mike, while talking about said product, really, if his house got robbed, has no idea if it would be on camera or anything. And he's had the product for a decade. Like, but maybe it could be.
Robbers, they might know how to do different things. I've seen Ocean's 11.
But that's probably not what the security company wants you to say.
Probably right.
We can keep out everyone but the best. DFW security.
Line, actually.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
That's a good tagline. Yeah. Number two. The dirty little secret about radio, at least according to me, no one ever teaches us the rules. It's just when you screw up, somebody tells you it's against the rules.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know the rules of radio at all. And when Mike, at the end, very end of the show, was, I think he was trying to sell his house. Did you move? Did you move, Mike? Like, you were trying to sell your house?
Yeah, we moved, but then people were renting our house for a year, but then we had to sell the house that we were renting.
Hey, this was awesome. Mike was trying to sell his house, and it wasn't getting sold fast enough for Mike. And so he in crosstalk at the end of our show was just like, look, if you're out there right now and you can sell my house, I will give you X number of dollars or whatever.
Oh my God.
The show ends and our boss is standing in the hallway to let Mike know that this is absolutely not allowed. Like you can't do this. And so like he's gearing up for the exchange, the education, like we'll talk about this for a bit until you understand. And Mike walks out the door and our boss says, with a slightly elevated voice, if I remember right, Mike cannot do that. And Mike does not break stride on his way to the elevator. He says, okay. And then that's it. And then when we went to training camp and we had a beach house one time, Mike went up to the second floor. Because if Mike has a joke in mind, that joke's happening.
Oh, yes.
Yep.
That bit is happening. And so, Mike, I'm up there, and I'm in on the bit. I'm up, like, unpacking or whatever, and Mike's like, I'm getting in the tub. And so Mike gets in the bathtub, butt naked, And he's like, and the bit is, he's going to wait until someone walks in. After 45 minutes of sitting in that tub, he's like, man, I'm getting really pruney.
So like, water was getting cold. It was hot water when we started.
He sat there for like an hour, hour and a half until, I don't know if it was fish or who, but I mean, the son of a bitch sat there for 90 minutes until somebody walked into this room to make sure that somebody had to see him naked. Like, mm-hmm. He's just commitment to the bit, Mikey B.
Thanks. I don't remember that trip. We slept together on that trip in the
we
same bed.
Sleep together.
I thought you just said
trip,
you yeah. didn't remember it.
No, I remember.
Oh, okay.
I remember that trip.
Okay.
We didn't have enough rooms and beds, so we shared
a bed. It happens sometimes, but we're on the beach. So all the stuff that I like to bitch about Mike, Mike's also the person who since I left the fan has kept up with me the most, and I think that he's a very genuine, real person that tries his best, knows his shortcomings, really tries to work on them, cares about people. And we've stayed fairly close, even though I left a job. And when you leave a job, like the thing you have in common with most of your coworkers is the job. There's people over there that I haven't spoken to since the day I left. Mike is the person who checks in on me the most, and I think that he's a wonderful friend and a really good person. He is just hard as hell to work with.
That is true. That is true.
I was mad when you left.
Yeah. All right.
But I understood.
Why? I hated working with you.
I know, but I liked working with you. I didn't mind that you yelled at me and told me to shut up. I was like, that's kind of funny.
Thank you.
It's going to be great on TV.
All right.
Thank you very much, Jeff, for jumping on with us. Really appreciate it.
All right. Bye, boys. Love you.
See you, Jeff.
Jeff Kavanaugh right here on 105.3 The Fan. By the way, Alex said he's got two or three more Mikesterpiece of the decades that he would like to throw out. Is that okay with you if we do that right now?
Sure.
Okay, go for it, Alec.
Oh, right now. Let's see. He has a greeting.
Like, how you doing, sick kids?
I think that about
still
that
sticks.
A lot.
Still sticks to this
absolutely.
Day.
Absolutely.
Whenever I walk into the house, if my kids are sick, I say that to
how
them.
How you doing, sick
hey,
kids?
Hey, how's it going, sick kids?
This is one of my favorite bits that Carter Freeman came up with during Peace-a-thon last year, where Mike had to guess if this was a real athlete or not, and he heard Grizzly Fondue and said this.
Oh, that's like a cheesy bear.
Grizzly Fondue.
I don't know why cheesy I bear. Love that so much.
Oh, my gosh.
Let's see.
Do you want to play one more or we set?
I probably got one more. This is one of my personal favorites because it's a moment that Kevin probably regrets.
Eric? 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 Eric?
Eric?
Oh, man, their second kid was Ricky. So is Eric Ricky Ricky?
That was all based off of the what I thought was a throwaway joke. What did the DJ name his son? Eric? And that joke infuriated Mike so much.
Eric?
All right, there you go. Another jam-packed segment for you. Coming up next, it is the final segment. We will chit-chat with those fellas from the G-Bag Nation next right here on The Fan. KNC Masterpiece back here on 105 Through The Fan on a shout-out Friday from Christopher. Shout-out to Mikey for being our fourth in the My Possibilities charity golf tournament a few years ago and contributing at least 5 shots over the round.
Nice.
Right, thank you.
From the 832, Mike is incredible. The KNC Masterpiece with Mike reminds me of Inside the NBA with the chemistry and antics. Truly legendary. And from the 940, shout out to Mike. For all the years of chaos, laughter, and love, you'll be missed, but I'm excited to see your new journey with the Rangers. Now go take a load off. But before you can, courtesy of D&M Leasing, it's time for our chit-chat with the fellas from the G-Bag Nation. Gentlemen, how is you today?
Doing okay, Hagee. How about you?
I'm doing fine. I want to switch it up just a little bit. Can you tell me what is coming up on the program first?
Pure Gold, as always, thanks for asking. The Burger Bot himself, Jake Burger, is going to join us as soon as he checks out of the game, so probably somewhere in the 3 o'clock hour.
Oh, that is going to be phenomenal. That is going to be phenomenal.
Guy. Yeah, what a dude.
Now, we've had lots of people on throughout the day.
Yeah.
But you, my friend Gavin Dawson, have as much experience with Mike as damn near anybody at this station.
Believe so. What was that run, about 8 years?
Yeah, 2013 through 2019, I believe. 19 was when Broadus was added, I believe. Am I correct? Yeah. I think I'm right on the timeline because it was right before COVID. I worked with these guys for just a few months.
It was right before Halloween, yeah.
And then you know, in whatever, March, whatever, everything got changed, so.
Yeah, and then the 2 years before that where you were just kind of like our baseball expert, yeah, filling in and stuff. And I think we started working together in the 2011 playoff run.
Yep, you're right.
Was there a particular moment that stands out to you of Mike agitation or Mike greatness?
Probably, you know, greatness would be the Coach Ballsack speech that he did live one night at a watching party. I don't know if that was like a Monday night game or something.
Oh, I heard
like
about that, yeah.
But I don't know. That was probably 2014 or something at like a Pluckers or a Buffalo Wild Wings or Twin Peaks or something like that. It's probably my favorite moment. You know, when we first got to one of the beach houses in Oxnard, him just randomly walking naked through the house, like, hey, what's up, guys, with a big old smile on his face.
Kavanaugh said he sat in the hot tub for like 90 minutes waiting for somebody to come in.
Yeah, I wish it was a hot tub. It was just a bathtub.
It was. Oh, it was the upstairs bathtub.
I was getting cold after a while because the water doesn't stay hot forever.
Oh, my God, that's so much worse. So this is a really low-key thing, but this just set the tone. I still remember that divisional round game, the Cowboys against the Rams, we're sitting together. The first run goes for like 9 yards. Mike looks right at me. This is the first play of the game. And he goes, we're going to lose just because of that one play. And I was like, it's been one effing play.
Wasn't that at the Omni in Dallas?
Yes. Yeah. And then by the end of the game, he looks over at me and he goes, I told you we were going to lose. And I was like, thanks.
I remember we were at Redneck Heaven, and he and I got to go run around those during the playoffs, that playoff run. And he gets up on the microphone and goes, the boss told me not to cuss at these things anymore, so I'm just going to give you a good pep speech here. And he did. The whole place was rocking, and he didn't say one cuss word. I was proud of him.
That is true. And then one of my other favorite moments has just happened in the last year because – I was shocked when this happened. We're at a Buffalo Wild Wings, and we throw it to Mike Likes It. Everybody in that restaurant goes nuts. Like, they all start cheering and going crazy, and I'm like, what the hell is happening? And it's just because of the enthusiasm for the segment, and then that was early on. So every week, people were fired up about Mike Likes It. But the first time, it was like this shocking, impromptu applause that I felt was tremendous.
Well,
finish strong, Mike.
As I close it out here, thank you to everybody who's listened to me throughout the years. And I know that I can at times not be the most like person, but you stuck with me. You stuck with the station. Thank you so much. Thank you to Bruce Gilbert. Thank you to Gavin Spittle. They took a chance on me, a second chance on me. And without that second chance, there's no way that I am going to do the Texas Rangers full-time like I am. Thank you to really you three guys in here, because you three guys are kind of the three that are left that have worked with me. I know I've occasionally worked with Eric and Zach and Brian and Sean and RJ and Bobby, but you guys mean the world to me. Thank you guys so much. I love you guys. I truly love you guys. I've loved working at this station. There's been ups. There's been downs. There's been times that have been great, and there's been times where I'm like, what the crap am I doing here? But it's been awesome, and thank you to all the Tolos. I've got to talk to a lot of you throughout the time. I know there's the majority I've never met.
Sure.
But for the people that I've got to meet and got to know a little bit, and you've got to know me through this radio, thank you so much. It's kind of hard to believe that it is over. I'm sure Monday I'll be thinking about what I would say or going to say on the show, but it won't be there anymore. And this is where I just got to thank Eric Nadell, because I never thought Eric was going to see this moment. And to Matt Hicks, you're here too. And that will end my time on The Fan. Thank you so much. It's Woo! Been great. You guys did a great job. Thanks for the four guests, to Norm Hitchkiss, to Dave Raymond, to Jeff Kavanaugh, and to, lastly, Derek Holland, who almost won us a World Series in 2011. but he couldn't catch that fly ball in right field.
Oh, my God.
So should
have been faster.
You guys are just going to have to live with being the second-best Rangers team of all time, and possibly the third-best if another team wins a World Series. Just keep moving down.
Ladies and gentlemen, we've been the KNC Masterpiece live from Surprise. Remember, come back with the rest of us.
I love you guys.
On Monday, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on 105.3 The Fan.
Say goodnight, Mike.
Good night forever. Until Monday, when you guys will do a show. And guess what? I haven't signed my papers yet.
I might come back Monday.
And you know what you can fill your pillows with? Mike Trout!